À conversa no cais.
Esta semana fomos até Marselha falar com uma jovem velejadora italiana. E falamos de andar à vela no Lago Maggiore. De começar aos 6 anos num otimista. De adorar barcos grandes. De lavar a cara com ondas. Da paixão pela vela versus a vela de competição. Do trabalho de grupo. De ir para a Armada Italiana aos 15 anos. De estar a 5 minutos da Praça São Marcos. De aos 17 anos fazer regatas de clássicos. Do regresso ao mundo civil. De 6 meses em Portugal. Do mar português. De uma família. De estar em Marselha. De ser coordenadora nos Jogos Olímpicos. Dos prós e contras de Marselha. De voltar à Antigua. De planos a 6 meses. De trabalhar na Tip and Shaft. E da Sailors. A nossa convidada é Eugénia Brunazzo. Bem-vindos à Conversa no Cais, podcast do LX Channel. Desta vez, esta semana, fomos até Marselha falar com uma jovem milanesa apaixonada pela vela e que tem também uma grande ligação a Portugal. Eugénia, allora, parliamo inglese que é melhor por todo o mundo no capiscere. First of all, thanks for your time. It's a pleasure to talk with you. We meet from a great common friend, I think, I don't know, 2 years ago. I know Chichu Rima sent me a message that someone is passionate about sailing. We'll spend some months in Portugal, and then you appeared.
Yes, Rodrigo. Thank you very much for this call. Francesco Rima was my commander when I was in the Italian Navy. And so when I was moving to Lisboa, I knew he lived there and I asked him for help since I was moving to a new city.
Yeah. He was here during the Volvo Ocean Race. I think he's the connection official to the Italian army to diplomatic to the embassy, Italian embassy or something like that. He's a great guy, and also it's a pleasure to once meet him. It's funny because it's the second person in less than 1 month that come from Milan and is completely passionate about sailing. Why is Milan so sexy for sailors?
I actually didn't have much choice because I was born in Milano. But it's true to say that from Milano, like, we have very famous navigators like Ambrogio Beccaria or Giovanni Soldini. They're also from Milano. So I actually started sailing on the lakes, on Lake Maggiore, and then all the other lakes too. But at the same time, I think Milano is very well connected to the sea. So I don't know, I think like, we're born and raised in Milano, but at the same time, we want to get out of the city and explore. And then the big change for me when I was when I moved to Venice when I was 15 years old. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there I started living at the sea and I loved it. And it's also one of the reasons why I moved to Marseille later in time.
Later. Okay, let's go step by step. But when you start sailing, when and why you start sailing?
First experience into sailing, my first experience was definitely on the lake, on an optimist, and I really loved it. I really liked had my face washed by the waves and the cold, and also maybe a little bit the smell of the of the wetsuit. I like that too.
It's funny,
but I think it was just being on the water. It was something completely different. But at the same time, when I was little, I didn't like much the competition. And I started...
Why?
I don't know. I liked sailing by myself, but it's not like I'd like to like run for it. I don't know. I like it to be fast, to be in front, but not necessarily like have my name up there. I don't know. It was not necessary to me to appreciate it.
It's funny because one of the things I criticize and lots of people criticize a lot nowadays is exactly what you said, because there are so many people that love to sail, so young kids go love to sail, But the system is based on go immediately on competition and competition, competition, competition. And sailing is losing people because of that. Because, look, I want to say everyone who learned to ride a bike don't need to be a professional cyclist, can only have passion for riding a bike. And our sport is strange because we send immediately the kids to competition, competition, competition. And plus, it's expensive for some parents if some people cannot afford it.
True, I agree with you. And the risk is that maybe you have children that, or young adults that do very good in those competitions, and then they are fed up and they don't want to go on anymore. And so we lose, let's say, middle-aged sailors because they don't go on anymore. But to me, it was the opposite because I really started enjoying like also the competition when I was sailing with crew. I really liked to get the results for the people I was sailing with and like the team effort. It was all about that, like sailing properly on the boat, like do everything right, see the maneuvers that like would flow easily, you know. And one thing I love about sailing on bigger boats, it's like the maneuvers. Like the more complicated they are, the better it is. Like if you have that maneuver that like it's like, oh, there's 25 knots, 30 gusts, and I need to get the spinnaker up and down smoothly, and then I need to change that genoa because I have to do it. And you think about all the maneuvers before, who has to do what, and that energy there. For me, the happiest moment is when like the speed goes up, it's perfect, it blows, and like wow, and you see the boat pushing forward, and like yes, I did it right, and it's such an
That's
accomplishment. I love it.
where you're where from. That's from there that comes your adrenaline and your strength. It's fun. And why you think so many young people don't go on sailing on a team with boats with crews? Because, for instance, I don't know, a month in a podcast I've recorded with Andrew Pindar, I don't know, a couple months ago or something, 2 months ago. He said sailing for kids is very cheap because if you go to all nautical clubs, they always need kids to go sailing on a boat. They need to put hands on the deck at the end. But why we don't see so many people looking for that? You have any idea about it?
Well, I don't have an answer to that. I think it depends a lot also on the sailing center you are. If they give you the opportunity to sail on bigger boats when they see they're good in Optimist, in Laser, or in 420, and they're like, oh, you know, you can try something else as well. Because, you know, sometimes you see very, very good laser sailors, for example, that don't even know how to assist spinnaker. And you're like, but you're so good on that support. Why you're not good at others? But I think it really depends on the culture of the sailing center and maybe also the country you're in. For example, now I'm currently living in France, and here how the sailing center are structured, it's completely different. Like you have many more people also sailing on keelboats compared to what I'm used to in my sailing centers back in Italy. So I think it all depends on the opportunity you have. Because I'm sure if my fellow mates back in Laser had the opportunity to sail on Melges 24 or, I don't know, classic boats, they would grab it. But maybe the opportunity was not there and they didn't know they could look for it. I actually don't know. We will see in the future how it evolves.
One of big steps you made in your life, it's when you decided to go on the army. Why?
True.
On Navy, sorry, on Navy, sorry, on Navy.
It's
On the army,
Italian
no, on
Navy. And
Italian Navy, yeah.
I know it's strange, but I went there when I was only 15 years old. Because many
Wow.
people may not know, but in Italy, you have the opportunity to do pre-academic schools. So academies, so all the schools before the academies, so before like university level. So from 15 to 18 years old. And so I did this national competitive exam. I passed it. It was very competitive, but I got there. And I got the opportunity to live in Venice for 3 years, really like in Venice, Venice, like 15 minutes
Yeah.
by foot from Piazza San Marco.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. Like 15 years old, out of home, living in a city like that. And there it was, I decided to try something new. And I would say, like, the word of mouth going around was that it was like a paradise for sailing, which is partially true because I was sailing 6 days out of 7 every week, because there is really like a sailing base inside the school with a sailing team, and they would like send us everywhere in Italy to represent the school. And so I applied for that, and then I really liked it. Of course, it was not all about sailing. There was a huge military part. We were marching with rifles on the 2nd of June in Rome. So there was a lot around it, not only that. But I'm really happy about that experience because it gave me the opportunity to meet like people from all around Italy, because it was open to everyone from, of course, Italy. And also another thing I really am thankful for is that it opened me the doors to classic sailing, because the Italian Navy has a fleet of 6 classic boats, and I went a couple of weeks on those. I was on chaplain for my training. It was included like in the pathway. And then like a captain of another boat, Corsaro Secondo, he told me, yeah, but you actually know how to sail. So if you want, you can come sailing with us for other regattas that are in our calendar. And so I was, back then I was still underage, I was still 17, and I got on a flight to go to Mahon. That was my first regatta with them in Spain. And that's where I started sailing on classics. And then, you know how it works, Rodrigo. You know someone who knows someone, you start talking. Then I started sailing on English boats and American ones. And then I landed on a French boat. And so now I sail on those 3 languages, plus also a little bit of Portuguese, as you may know.
Wow, that's impressive. That's really impressive. But what was your parents' reaction when you said, "I'm going to Marina Militare"?
Well, my father was very happy about it, actually. Like, I wouldn't say he pushed me, but he was like, yeah, sounds good. You can go. Hey, I can take you to the selection center if you want. So it was very supportive. Actually, I think without I think, I know he wanted me to keep going in the Navy even after those 3 years. But then I decided to take a different path. And so yeah, it was quite happy. And they would come visit me in Venice, because at the end, you know, Venice Milan is not that far. It's 2 hours and a half train, so it's feasible.
It's funny. It's funny. It's a lovely story. And anyone in Italy, that mean all Italians are allowed to try to have that experience?
Yes, of course. Also because you have it for every, not only for the Navy, but also for the Air Force and also for the Army. You, let's say, just have to do a competitive exam, so you have to apply for it. In my case, at that year, there were around 800 applications for 50 spots. And so you have a selection in different steps. You first have a logical test, let's say. Then you have physical exams, psychological exams, and then culture exams, and then you have a ranking, and the first ones get in.
And when you were there, beside the sailing, you it's like if you are in a high school, it's similar.
Yes. Think about a co English college you see in the movies. So, like, people all living together, 5 people for each bedroom. So you're sharing the bedroom with the others. There is the canteen, so you eat all together at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then
No, the
you
common
have
singer.
it's like that. And then you have different activities. I talk about sailing because that I was in the sailing team. But then you also have swimming and tennis and running. You have everything. So you have all the, let's say, high school part, then you have the sports part, and then you really have the military part, because we were really military of the Italian Navy. We had our little stars, you know, on our shirt, and we were representing the country. And then, so for example, other things we did, we went on the Amerigo Vespucci, that you may know is the.
I know him quite well, yeah.
Okay, and then the Palinuro and Cavour, which is, you know, the big military ships. We also had an experience of 1 week with Bersaglieri San Marco, which you have to think of the Navy SEALs, the Italian Navy SEALs. Then we went on classic boats. So it was 3 years doing all the experiences together with other 50 fellow
Cadets,
mates.
what
Exactly,
can
exactly.
cadets?
Cadets. We were cadets, absolutely,
You are
100%.
cadets, yeah. That's it. And why you decided to, after those 3 years, moving in another direction?
Well, because first of all, I love those 3 years. I will do it again 1,000 times. But then I looked into what the Italian Navy was offering at the time. So the different, you know, specialties. You can be a doctor in the Navy. You can be an engineer and different tasks as well. But none of those really like inspired me. So I decided to go back to the civil world, let's say. And so I went to university in Milano, went back to my city, and I did a bachelor in business and management. And at the same time, of course, I didn't leave sailing. So I got my certificate as sailing coach in Italy with the Federazione Italiana Vela. And of course, then I also did it in Switzerland. So I was at uni during the week. And then over the weekends, I was either coaching or racing by myself. So racing on boats both on the Adriatic Sea, but also in Liguria. So depending on where people call me, I would go sailing. And of course, in the summer, I kept my link with the classics, and that possibly was the best time of the year for me.
You are completely passionate about classics.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, it's and it's not only about the lines and the beauty of the boat. It's also about the complexity of those boats.
I really, really strongly agree with you. Also, one thing I really love is changing boats. Not because I get bored of it, but simply because I want to keep improving. Like something that really pushes me is like, okay, I have this new opportunity. I can learn all I can on this boat. And of course, I love the crew. I love where I am. And then when I feel maybe I reach the maximum I can learn, I also like to move. To learn something more, because from diversity in boats and also in people, in crews, but also in languages, you can understand more and improve yourself, keep improving yourself. I think that's the key thing, both in sailing but also in life.
And now let's move ahead a little bit. And one day you come to Portugal.
True, that's a big jump. Jump.
You were here for 6 months, almost 1 year. How is your relation with Portugal as a country today? What do you think is good things and bad things we have here?
Okay. So it's true. I went to Portugal 1 year ago right now. So I stayed March to September. And one thing I understand about Portugal, if first of all you have very good people, I'm still in touch with my friends I made over there, and just so nice to keep in touch and you know like keep saying, oh, how is it going here and there. And I really feel like it's very kind people. I don't know, very like warm. I realized. Then another thing that I find fascinating about Portugal is like your beaches you have, like your sea. It's just so fascinating. I like to take pictures. I love it. And sometimes I scroll back and I'm like, oh, this was so amazing. There is so like you have those infinite beaches and you feel like it's never ending. I loved sailing in Portugal. I stayed in Cascais, in Lisboa, in Lagos. I also did a delivery from Cascais to Vilamoura, and that way I really appreciated all the Algarve. And I'm like, oh, this is so good. So I really love the people and the sea and sailing back there. So I added another language to my sailing dictionary right now.
To your portfolio.
Exactly, exactly.
You are at an amazing boat with a lovely crew, with a great family. How was your story with that team?
Okay, so it's true. It was also another thing, as you said correctly, family. To me, sailing is also about that. Like every crew, you sort of build a little family, some little routines. You're like, oh, this is a dad, this is the aunt, this is the mama. And you're living that bubble that feels like out of reality, but it's actually so good. How did I get to sail in Portugal? This is a funny story. I was sailing in south of France, and this lady called me to sail SB20 with her. And I was super ready to do this training back in March before I left for Portugal, and ready to sail. Then there was 14 knots Mistral, which is something here happens quite a lot. And so instead of sailing an SB20, I went to on a 45 foot. And this very nice lady called Eleanor Routin, she's like, do you want to sail with us next weekend? But I'm saying, I'm sorry, but I'm moving to Portugal. And so that's how it happens. She gave me a contact of the president of SB20 in Portugal. I wrote a message on WhatsApp on this group saying, hey, Italian little lady, I speak these languages. I sail this and that, and I like to sail. And so they picked me up from that WhatsApp group, and I started sailing in Portugal as well. And it was just so good. As I always say, sailing always saves me. Like, wherever I go, I manage to find someone as passionate as me about the sport and really gives me a different perspective on the city I'm moving or the country I'm moving. So, yes, that's how I started sailing in Portugal.
And this summer you don't gonna have time to sail in Portugal, or you have plans to come compete here again, or not
Well,
yet?
I don't know. If someone calls me, I would absolutely come back with pleasure. I had to brush up my Portuguese before, but
Okay, so people, listen, Eugenia Brunazzo is ready to come to sail. If you go on Facebook, contact Eugenia, or call me, I can give Eugenia a mobile number, and will be keen to sail again in Portugal.
yes,
Then,
absolutely. I also want
but
to move
for
Madeira, so I know next year the ORSA Championship is there, so maybe
yeah.
I can get to one bird with two, no, wait, two stones, one, two birds with one stone. Yeah, I think that's how you
Yeah, true,
say
Andrew. Yes, let's hope so. But then we you dive completely. It's because you're not you're mo you are a sailor, not a diver, but you dive in projects completely. And now you dive in Olympic project. Can you share with us a little bit what you're gonna do and why you moved to the Olympic Games?
Absolutely. This is actually very fresh news. Just got it
Yeah.
a couple of weeks ago. So one thing we haven't told is that after my bachelor, I moved to Marseille for my master in marketing. And I've been here for 2 years now, except 6 months in Portugal. No, sorry, I've been here for 1 year and 6 months in Portugal.
Portugal.
And so actually, it's been in my head when I applied for this university. I'm doing catch. I knew Marseille was selected to be an Olympic venue, and I'm like, it would be so interesting to actually be in the city while the games are happening. And so I had this dream fixed in my mind for quite some time now, and I did all the applications. And 2 weeks ago, I had confirmation, and I'm officially working at the Olympic Games. Here in Marseille for the sailing event. And what I will do the title is a coordinatrice des officielles techniques, which basically I'll be the coordinator for the judges of world sailing coming here to supervise the game. And
You're gonna have lots of good friends, lots of good people around there. Yeah, and you're gonna have two lovely Portuguese guys, Manuel Canganito and Miguel Amaral. So you're gonna have some Portuguese flavor in France, besides some Portuguese sailors you're gonna find there, but at least those two will be under your umbrella, so take good care because they are lovely, lovely, lovely guys. And how is the vibe now in Marseille with the Olympic Games, with the sailing of the Olympic Games there? How you already feel this vibe around the Olympic Games in Marseille or not yet? It's too early.
I think it's a little early. There was a lot happening last summer for the test event. So it was back in July. So people would come here from June. Right now, there is something happening, but not that much. You might know there is some training centers, one in Pointe-Rouge and one at the Île-de-Frioul. So there is some teams doing training sessions, but right now there is not much movement. But from May, June, I think all the teams will arrive here, and there you will actually feel, let's say, the Olympic fever. As for tourists, so people, right now it's still chill. But as I said before, also from the start of the summer, it will be quite crazy to stay here in Marseille.
Yeah, it's going to be lovely. And I love Marseille, and I love the sailing conditions. There you have this lovely Raz de Marseille, and then you have the on the left side, in direction of Friuli, Calanque, and all of that. What's your you as a sailor? What's your advice to the people that going sail there?
Well,
What are the plus and the cons about sailing there? What is the most difficult part and easy part of sailing in Marseille?
first of all, the sailors, as you said, will sail in the Rade de Marseille,
Yeah.
and there will be four different circuits, four different areas of competition.
40?
Four. Not 40, no, 40 would be
Wow.
like I don't want even to think about the organizational part of 40
Yeah.
for seats. No, four
Forum.
areas, and so Marseille is
They are all in the head, or they are some one or two outside.
no, they're all inside between La
Okay.
Corniche and then Île-de-Frioul, so it's all in that
Okay.
area, so it's delimited by Île-de-Frioul, Corniche, and Altil-les-Goûtes, Pointe-Rouge.
Okay.
It's very interesting to stay in Marseille, especially because you have different wind conditions depending on what's happening. You can have a lot of waves too. So it's interesting for sailors to come here and train before, actually. It's so interesting to see, actually, already right now, not now, but before Christmas, where there's some laser training camps. And so you would see sailors coming before to know how the sails heal. Because sometimes it's really tricky, especially how the wind turns. But overall, I think it's very nice for sailing Marseille. There's always, almost always, wind. And
Yeah.
Mistral is just very cool to sail. Not
Yeah. I
5 knots, but that's what I remember.
have a funny story with sailing and Marseille that I was working with at a competition that involved I forgot the name the multi the oh just the like I forgot the trimarans circuit with the trimarans with 50 footers trimarans and the guys come to Cascais and I said, oh, you're gonna love, it's gonna be insane, you're gonna be mad about sailing in the Cascais and so on and so. And then I at the time I was talking with Michel Desjoyeaux and Loic Perron. I said, you're gonna be mad in Cascais with sailing conditions. So we moved the circuit to Cascais. They spent like 3 days in Cascais with zero wind, zero wind.
Yeah,
And
it
then
happened to me once as well, to have zero wind outside.
we moved to next stop was in Marseille. And as soon as I arrived at the airport, I have a guy from Steve Ravoussin team waiting for me at the airport, and he said, look, Steve is waiting for you on water. I moved direct to the club, from a rib, jump on his boat and said, "Look, this is the place for sailing." It was I don't know, I don't remember, 27 to 30 knots. It was completely insane, the sailing conditions there, and I love a lot. This is a magical place, and it's also a really, really beauty place for sailing.
That's
Looking
why they
for
call it for the Olympics in France. There might be a reason behind that, you know.
yeah, I think so. I think it's a great location. It will deliver outstanding footage, image, and yes, it's a lovely. Even the city with the Vieux Port and all of that. It's really charming. The island, Île de Rennes, it's perfect. It's a lovely place. The big question about you, Eugenie, is what you expect to do in, let's say, in 2034?
So
Maybe you're gonna sail on
well, first of all, I want to do the maximum I can during the games. So I will give really all what I have during those months. Then
Remember, that is guaranteed. I don't have any doubt that the Olympic Committee hired a great person, because beside your competence and your way you work, your passion will make the difference for sure. So that's a plus for them. They maybe they don't know the precious gem they have with them. So that part is easy, but let's go again on your answer.
well, thankfully, it's a podcast because I'm blushing right now, Rodrigo. But
Yeah,
thank you.
nobody see it.
But yeah, so the planning is staying here in Marseille until August for sure. And then, if possible, I would like to sail in September. So there is some great classic circuits in September
Yeah.
in Cannes and Saint-Tropez and also other classes. Then I need to work on my dissertation because it's something I have to finish to complete my degree. And then I don't know, I'm open to opportunities. I'm sure I want to pursue a career in this field. My major is in marketing as well, so I don't know if I manage to combine the two would be very interesting. But again, you know, as I said to my friend just this morning, I live 6 months at a time. So now I know the next 6 months I'm here. 2 weeks ago, I didn't know if I would be here over the summer. And 6 months ago, I was in Portugal. So, you know, I work like this, 6 months at a time. So let's see what happens in the next month. And then maybe we can do another session, another podcast, another episode, and I can tell you what I'll do for the next 6 months. As it is right
But
now, I have no answer.
you have no answer. But one thing you must have, one or two answers at least. If you can choose one of two sailing races you want to do for sure, you haven't done yet, which races you want to do in one day?
Well, I would love to go back to Antigua
Yeah.
because I did the Antigua Classic back in 2019 when I was out there. Really, you asked a question about my father. How was he like before you going around and there, where he let me go at 19 years old on the other side of the world, sailing on a boat I didn't know the people from because it was recommended for a friend. I'm like, that there he was very nice. So I think one thing I like to do again is going back to the Caribbean and do Antigua Classic or the Caribbean Rock 600. I would like to explore more in that field.
Yeah.
And maybe also do more offshore races. I've done a lot of inshore. I love it. I love the adrenaline during the day, but and I also did like some longer regattas in the Adriatic. But maybe yeah, I can try to step a little bit into offshore. But for sure, I want to go to Antigua at least once again.
We have talked about your past, your present, and your future, but we forgot to talk about what the reason that you come to Portugal.
True, you're completely right. And it's actually one of the most important things that happened to me the
Yeah,
past
so
year.
important.
It changed me a lot. I was working for Tiefenschaft, which is a media platform, a
Yeah,
French
they're
one
great.
based in Lorient. We do podcast and cellophane festival, but we were born as a newsletter for selling passionates. And it's strange, but they also have an office in Lisbon. And so I was an Italian studying in France, working for a French company, living in Lisbon. It was quite fun when I was meeting someone like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
It was a quite long story. And actually, my flair, I would say, for the offshore, for the Cours sur l'Arche, I
Yeah.
think it developed a lot since I work at Tiefenschaft.
Yes,
Because
it's French culture. Yeah, it's
yeah, I
amazing.
actually had the opportunity to fly to Lorient 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, Lorient is like the Disneyland for sailors. You go à la
It's,
base.
yeah, it's like I want to say Lorient is like we have the Rome for Catholics, for offshore sailing. Lorient, that's the place.
Exactly. Like, you just go there, and instead of going on Topolino, like, things, like, you get there to the pontoon, and you look up those crazy boats, and, like, I would love to jump on board of those. And so I learned so much from Pélagie Chevance and Pierre-Yves Letraux, Alex Capron. And I would get to know even more, like, the French culture for sailing. Also because I was working in French, English and Italian as well.
Yeah.
And it was just so interesting. I learned so much from different sides of sailing and marketing and business development. Yes, what were you saying?
Another thing you haven't said about Tiefenschaft, and I think it's one of the most important things they are doing. They are a sort of Netflix of sailing competition. They have so many great documentaries, movies about competition, sailing competition. It's unbelievable. I think they are far ahead than anyone else in the world.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, if you think about Netflix and you want a Netflix for sailor, that's Sailors with a Z at the end.
Yeah,
and
Sailors.
It's
yes.
full of content. Partially, it's co-produced, which depends Shaft, because we also have a studio production. But yeah, you can find everything online, that site. And then there is also a film festival, so really in presence. It's you go around different cinemas in France. I was just last Tuesday, there was a stop here in Marseille, and it was so nice to see all my colleagues again.
Yeah.
And you get to experience those incredibly immersive movies, thanks to which you find yourself sort of in the boat with the sailor, and you really experience what's about being at sea. So yeah, it was mind-blowing for me, knowing that there was such an industry behind that here in France especially.
Yeah, Frederic has a massive knowledge. They have a massive knowledge on that area. It's unbelievable. So my recommendation to everybody is go to check Sailors with Z at the end, and also register to receive a Tiefenschaft newsletter, because it's an outstanding newsletter about sailing. And I think Eugenie, now it's time to say not goodbye, but we keep this, we book already to chat in the nearby future with you and for another podcast. And above all, thanks so much for your time. And I don't have any doubt you're going to be very successful in the Olympics and all the other projects. And once more, I need to say thank you to Francesco Rima to send me your contacts, introduce you, because you are a lovely and a great person. So, Eugenia, thanks so much for your time. Let's keep in touch and see you soon somewhere.
Muito obrigada, Rodrigo. Thank you again for this opportunity to chat a little bit, and see you soon. Maybe here in Marseille for the games.
Why not? I can't, because I will do the commentaries for the Olympic, for sailing at the Olympic Games from Lisbon, from to Portuguese television.
Then I need to come to Lisbon after the games. Maybe that's what I can do in September.
Yeah, let's do something for sure. Eugenio, grazie mille e ci vediamo subito. Ciao.
Un piacere. Ciao, Rodrigo.
Ciao.
E assim chegamos ao final de mais um episódio do A Conversa no Cais. Para a semana, como habitualmente, cá estaremos com novos convidados.